Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero vinyl plank flooring. It provides a genuine weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof and scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active families. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news, with Manchester United apparently in advanced talks with Bruno Guimarães to bring him to Manchester United this summer. It's an interesting story because the journalist reporting it was apparently the same one who started the rumour about Guimarães to Newcastle from Lyon. So could be something in that. Also updates around Baleba, Tonali, Marcus Rashford and more games from Barcelona. Apparently they want another loan. They don't want to sell him. We've spoken about this before. The power is with Rashford and with Barcelona, not with Manchester United. It's quite similar to Onana. United can insist on 25 million, but if Barcelona don't pay it, what are they going to do? So lots to talk about on this show this morning. We also got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock. So everything we're talking about this morning, we should be able to get some clarity on as well. And tomorrow, it is a match day with Manchester United, which is why the preview went up last night. But I hope you're doing well this morning. This is not a story I expected to be reacting to on the morning show, but it's a very interesting one. So Manchester United are in advanced talks to sign Newcastle's Bruno Guimarães for around 70 million. But renewed interest from Real Madrid threatens to complicate the proposed move. So this is coming in from Fernando Calas via Reuters. And apparently this is the same journalist that started the story involving Bruno Guimarães from Lyon to Newcastle, which obviously did transpire to be true. So there is a little bit of excitement around it this morning that maybe Manchester United could be making a move. Now, look, Bruno Guimarães didn't play for Newcastle last night or for the last few weeks, but I don't think there's any doubt that he's an absolute monster of a midfielder in the Premier League when it comes to intensity. He can score goals, can make a tackle, tremendous energy, a fantastic player. There's absolutely no doubt about it. He will be 29 in November. I don't see that as personally a problem. When you look at what Casemiro's doing well into his 30s, Bruno Fernandes is 31. His injury record isn't that bad, even though he's injured at the moment. So you're looking at one of the best midfielders in the Premier League and therefore one of the better midfielders in European football. Man United need to rebuild their midfield. It's certainly going to be... It's interesting, isn't it? Because we were talking yesterday about a quick deal for Tonali, and there's just no doubt that Tonali is going to be looking to leave Newcastle. But Newcastle would probably rather keep Tonali and sell Bruno Guimarães because Bruno Guimarães is a little bit older, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Bruno Guimarães' contract's a little bit more, got a little bit less time on it. So... Look, it's an interesting story. My initial thoughts on it are that we can't move away from the way. And also got a very interesting update on Luis Enrique, who technically is a head coach at PSG, apparently. So could that help Man United? Remind me about that. But I think in relation to Bruno Guimarães, the big barrier that we're going to have to climb over is the fact that United don't sign players over 26. And I find that incredible. I'm sure many of you do as well. I mean, I think if you put Bruno Guimarães in a Chelsea midfield, even though Enzo Fernandez and Caicedo are good, that's the sort of player Man United need. That's the sort of player Chelsea need. I think this type of experience and leadership, he's a shithouse as well. Let's be honest, he is. You know, you see him in games, he's proper up for it. You know, he's a fan favourite with Newcastle. I think he'd be a fantastic signing for us. The question is, he's not really a holding midfielder, is he? So I think that, but there's not many holding midfielders per se that are on our list. Elliot Anderson isn't really a holding midfielder. Neither is Baleba. Tonali is. Stiller isn't really a holding midfielder. So the midfield not only needs a revamp, it's also going to need a tweak in relation to how it works. He's not injury prone, Ash. You might want to go and do your homework on that. I agree he's a bit of a hybrid between a 6 and an 8. And he does play mainly his position, as King Walker says. Jared says this Bruno G story sounds like a load of shite. Well, look, it might be. It might be. But as I said, it's breaking this morning. And the journalist that's put it out there is the journalist that started the story from Lyon to Newcastle, which was actually true. So, look, as I say, for me, I ain't going to get greedy. It's not. I think the midfield situation is a little bit different to the manager situation. At the moment, the manager situation looks like we're really scraping the barrel. It doesn't look like we've got a best-in-class manager out there that wants to come to Man United. When it comes to the midfield, we're almost spoilt for choice. I can see people in the chat. In fact, one of our members just said, I'd rather get Tonali. I don't want Bruno G. And it's great to be in that position. But remember the bar we're starting from. We're going to have Mainoo and that's it. Come June, it's Mainoo. So I think with regards to the Manchester United midfield situation, I can't turn my nose up at Tonali, Stiller, Anderson, Wharton, Bruno G. Those five players, any one of them I'd be very happy with. Two out of those five I'd be ecstatic with. So look, my preference would probably be Tonali at the moment. But Bruno Guimarães is a bloody good signing, a very good signing. And the fact that he's going to be the fact that he's 28 doesn't bother me. It really doesn't bother me. I think £70 million is a lot for a 28-year-old. I think United would hopefully be able to negotiate that down a little bit. You could probably get him for 55, 60. And I think that's a more fair price. But if he was 25, I think he would be a 80, 90, 100 million pound player. So look, let's wait and see what's happening. For me, it doesn't feel like the sort of deal that Man United would do because of their own stupidity and insistence that they don't sign players over 26. But hopefully there is something in this, because what United need to do is move quickly on deals, i.e. over the next couple of weeks, because this international break for us is imperative, not just in relation to the manager situation, but in relation to the summer, because it's going to be a shortened summer. I'm just checking something here. Just bear with me. Okay, that's all right. That's for tomorrow. There we go. So yeah, about £70 million. Bruno Guimarães. There is interest from Real Madrid, and also, like, let's not forget that it's not Manchester United and Everton going for Bruno Guimarães. It's Manchester United and Real Madrid. Like, he is a top player. So I don't think you need a holding if you've got two midfielders willing to put the work in. Casemiro was a holding, but I say he's better going forward now, says Bradley. I think this is a great point. Like, the question is, can Kobbie Mainoo play in a midfield too with Bruno Guimarães or Elliot Anderson? Is he mobile enough? Is he combative enough? Or does Mainoo need a six next to him? That's the question we're all avoiding. Let's get real. Can Mainoo play in a midfield too and share the load? I think Elliot Anderson and Bruno Guimarães, you got no problems. I think Elliot Anderson and Wharton, you've got no problems. Is Mainoo a midfielder that can share the pivot role evenly? And I think that's a question mark at the moment. I really do. Hi, Mark. And that's why I think a lot of us are thinking about a traditional holding midfielder, because I think Mainoo next to a six is absolutely fine. Mainoo, where he's got to share the load, I don't know. But then again, he is only, what, 20, 21? It's incredible that we would, you know, pigeonhole Mainoo at that age and go, well, he can't play in a midfield pivot, because he probably can. Hi, Mark and the United Stand. Hope you're doing well, says Daniel Thompson. You too. Thank you very much. You're a legend. Keep up the good work, says Jordan. And welcome to the Members Club, Jordan, as well. A super chat and joins the membership club. So thank you very much for joining the Members Club. You can do that through the link in the live chat. And welcome to AFI DK and Bolver as well. who are our members. And AFI says, I see Mainoo as an 8 more than a 6. Rogue says, I think Mainoo will end up being a bench player. We'll see. So yeah, that's the latest on Mainoo. There are some other bits coming in this morning, though. I mean, look, I don't want to dwell on this because there's quite a few bits to get through around Anderson, Tenali, Marcus Rashford, and a bit on Enrique. But there was some stuff yesterday. I think it was actually coming in from Talk Sport. So hopefully they're talking shit because they do have quite good connections with Brighton. They always have. I think it's Alex Crook has got good connections with Brighton and I think Brentford. And I think he was talking about Man United holding talks with Baleba in the last month. I stand corrected if I'm wrong on that, but I'm sure that's what the story is that Man United have had held new talks with Brighton in the last month for Baleba. And look, whether that's true or not, it terrifies me. It terrifies me. I don't want Baleba. I don't want Baleba. And I think the line was Man United want to go for a big move midfielder like Tonali or Baleba and then another midfielder to help out. Imagine if Baleba is our big midfielder. That's what's scaring me. I'd take a risk on Baleba for £40 million as the second midfielder. So if you get Anderson and you get Baleba, or you get Tonali and you get Baleba. But imagine if Baleba is the main midfielder. And the second midfielder is like, I don't know, João Gomes or Tyler Adams. And the main midfielder is Baleba. That scares the crap out of me. And that's why yesterday I was talking about Wilcox, because it feels like Baleba is this year's Delap. The obsession. The obsession seems to be Baleba. We're right. The whole footballing world is wrong. We're right. That's exactly what happened with Delap. Everyone was saying Man United shouldn't go for Delap. Nobody in the fan base wanted Delap. Nobody was excited about Delap. But Wilcox was like, no, Delap. Oh, I can't believe it. You signed for Chelsea. He was gutted by that. It feels to me like Baleba could be that. And that feels like it's a mistake. If he's our significant midfield signing, it's scary. And don't forget, Baleba's not playing in the World Cup. We negotiated with Brighton last summer. So picking this up again, you can see it being a 2-month negotiation process where Brighton completely rip us off for a player that's had a horrific season as well. Like you know what? Baleba should be a Brighton player next season, getting his career back on track. That's how bad his season has been. He should be a Brighton player next year, trying to get his career back on track. He should be going away for the summer, working hard so he hits next season properly. And, you know, proves what a good player he is so he can get a proper move. Nobody should be buying Baleba this summer. On the basis of this season, nobody should be buying him. He should be taking a long break over the summer, reassessing his options, focusing in on being a footballer and coming back for Brighton next year, proving that he's a proper player. Nobody should be taking that burden on. It's incredible to me that a player that's been that crap this season is actually being spoken about as a transfer target for Manchester United. The best midfield pairings aren't necessarily great individual players, but rather have a good synergy and read the game extremely well. So Stig, thank you for being a member for 17 months. No truer word said. Faz 3650 says, we can't take a punt on Baleba on the hope he becomes a baller when we have Mainoo, who is also a project, who doesn't show anything special. I think this is a very good point as well. My patience and willingness to see a player develop and be nurtured lies with Mainoo. Baleba, you're right, would be another project, another expensive project. So what are we going to do next season? Start Mainoo and Baleba in the midfield. And then, you know, in mid-October when we're seventh and we're struggling, we go, what a fucking mistake we've made here. Eden says Bruno Guimarães is average. Wow. I mean, I'm not going to get drawn into childish comments like that, but average. Okay. Rashford, Caicedo, swap deal plus 10 million. Rashford Casado swap deal plus 10 million, good business, says Seb. I don't see Barcelona doing a swap deal with Manchester United. I mean, just on that, by the way, a couple of reports coming in this morning. One from, I think it was Chris Wheeler in the Daily Mail saying that Barcelona want to extend Rashford's loan for a second season. Man United have refused to renegotiate Rashford's £26 million fee, but Barca hope they can split the payments over the next two summers. And that's something that Ben Jacobs has reiterated as well, saying the same thing, that Barcelona are looking to renegotiate another loan with Rashford. And the interesting thing about Rashford is that when you look at his minutes in 2026, he had a very good first half of the season at Barcelona. But when you look at his minutes in the last few games, unused sub, 21 minutes, 62 minutes, 27 minutes, 18 minutes, unused sub. So it's like he's not starting games that often. And, you know, even last night in a, you know, against a Premier League team that were wide open, I don't think he came on, did he? So, you know, maybe with Rashford, we've got to be a little bit wary here because we're not in a strong position when it comes to Rashford's future. I think that, it could be a difficult one. So, you know, they could be doing it on purpose, says Cap or Die. Look, Rashford, Dave says Rashford ain't starting because he's crap and lazy. Rashford will probably start for England in the World Cup. Rashford is obviously very happy at Barcelona. I think Barcelona would like to keep him. He's clearly a bench option to Rafinha and Yamal. But they're not going to get... They've got us like that. And then twist it. You know, they have got us by the balls because last summer, Man United, I know why they do it. They do it for PR. But they're not Billy Big Bollocks. And if they are Billy Big Bollocks, those bollocks are being twisted because it's like the Onana story. Onana said he's coming back to Man United this summer and United have gone, no, you're not. We're selling you. Well, oh, good. Oh, this is great. Let's wait and see how you're going to do this then. How are you going to sell Onana? He's on 100 and something grand a week. He's got a couple of years left on his deal. How are you saying to Onana, you're not coming back, we're selling you? Where are you selling him to? The magical man from Fantasy Street. I mean, who's going to buy him? So he is coming back, isn't he? He's coming back until you loan him somewhere else and pay his wages because no one's going to pay him those wages. And as we know, the contract of Onana and Rashford doesn't say you don't get the Champions League increase in the wages because you didn't qualify for the Champions League. So when Rashford and Onana come back, their wage, they get a pay rise. Because it's in their contract. If we're in the Champions League, your wage goes up by a certain percentage. So even if Onana's on 100 grand a week, if he's got a 25% increase for the Champions League, he's on 125 grand a week in July. So who's buying Onana and giving him 125 grand a week? No one. And why would Onana go somewhere and take a pay cut? So Onana's going to come back and say, not my problem, your problem. Well, we really want you to go. I know, but you gave me a contract. I'm on 125 grand a week. You sort it out. Yeah, but there's a club in Turkey that was willing to buy you, give us 12 million, and you earn 40 grand a week. Yeah, is that 125 grand a week? No, screw you. So look, that's what's going to happen there. Rashford's a little bit different because he wants to go to Barcelona and they want him, but Barcelona don't want to pay 25 million. So what Barcelona will do is they will go, we're not giving you 25 million, but we will take him on loan for another year and pay his wages. And United will go, well, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. You're paying the 25 million. And Barcelona will go, we're not paying the 25 million. So take him back on a pay increase because you're in the Champions League and he'll be on 350 grand a week and you don't want him. Or we will take him, pay his wages and have him on loan for another year. And United will go, well, no, we'll sell him somewhere else. And Rashford will go, I'm not going anywhere else. I don't want to go anywhere else. And anywhere else will go, we don't want to pay the 25 million either. So he will end up going to Barcelona on whatever terms Barcelona want. And Man United haven't got a clue how they're going to, they haven't got a chance of playing that into our hands. But what we get as fans is because they want to project that they know what they're on about. Well, he's not going anywhere unless he goes for 25 million. Good luck with that. What happened last summer? We will get a fee for Rashford. We will get a fee for Rashford. We will get a fee for Rashford. What happens? He goes to Barcelona. We get no fee. They just pay the wages. So I think we need to appreciate that United can put whatever they like out about what's going to happen with Onana and what's going to happen with Rashford. But the bottom line is both Onana, Rashford, and in this case, Barcelona, they hold the cards. Jadon Sancho did the same. Dino says, are you concerned that no top manager will want to join United in the summer after the history Glazers have sacking managers after 18 months and the way they've been treated like Mourinho? No, Dino, I don't, because I think that when you look at the... when you look at the ego of managers, they will always step into those shoes. Always. Because there'll always be somebody that wants to take the job because they think that, that the world's different to them. So I don't think that's going to be a huge, huge problem, if I'm being completely honest. But look, you never know. You never know. There was something I wanted to bring in here. I got sent this morning. I thought it was quite interesting. Look, you might have your own comments on it. It was from Danny, and he said, I thought this might be of interest to the community, Luis Enrique potentially becoming the head coach of Manchester United. Enrique's official role at PSG is head coach, not manager. And as much as he does have some influence over transfer decisions, he's not the main decision maker. Luis Campos is the sporting director and he leads recruitment and negotiations. Final decisions are collaborative, involving Enrique, Campos and the club president. Interestingly, at Barcelona, Enrique did have more influence on transfers, although he didn't have full control. So if Enrique came to Manchester United as a head coach of Man United, his role would likely be very similar to what he has at PSG because both clubs use the sporting director model. So look, I mean, look, I'm not saying that that means that Enrique is coming to Manchester United, but as we know, there has been stories in the last couple of days about Enrique and Man United. We know that Ineos are going to push this head coach role. I think if Enrique was given the head coach role and was given a say on the board on transfers, which I think would happen with Carrick and it would happen with De Zerbi anyway, potentially it still could happen. It's still a dream. And as CAC says, the problem at PSG is that their director of football is actually good at their job. The problem I think Enrique might have is that Wilcox is absolutely shit. And imagine going to work every day and you find out in your calendar you've got a transfer meeting with Wilcox and you're just like, oh God, what's he going to do today? What is he going to do today? I was in Paris, you know, with Luis Campos, one of the best directors of football in the world, talking about people like João Neves and Kvaratskhelia Shkelia, and I'm now sat with Jason Wilcox talking to me about Belaba and Delap, and that might be the issue, really. So it's not that Enrique won't take the Man United job because it's a head coach role. He has got a head coach role at the moment. I think the barrier will be working with Pratt, really. Yeah. If we had Berta or Campos as director of football at Man United, I think Enrique would be very interested in it. But I think Wilcox is going to be the barrier to this. I really do. Malshirt says, Wharton and Stiller aren't all action, tackle-happy defensive beats, but they are a six and positional anchors to let players like Bruno G free roam. Yeah. I don't think Bruno G and Mainoo would necessarily work that well based on what I've seen this season. Dino69 says, are you concerned that no top manager... I've done that one from Dino. We literally just did that. Sinead O'Donnell says, would love it to be more obvious to us all who the real plan is or who was rather than lists about lists. Says Sinead. Well, look, I'm hopeful, Sinead, that over the next 2 weeks with the international break, this traditionally is the kickstarter for the summer transfer window. And it's such a big summer transfer window for Manchester United. And there's so much competition. We need to get a head start. So I'm hoping that over the next 2 weeks, it will start to clarify a little bit better. Because yesterday we had this story about Tonali. Today we've got this story about Bruno G. Ben Jacobs gave an update on Elliot Anderson, which I'll read you in a minute. So hopefully we're going to start to get a little bit more clarity because the season end is fast approaching and then it's the World Cup. So, I mean, look, sometimes you're in February, you're in November, you're talking about transfers and you're sort of like, who knows? I think we are approaching that period now where it's such a competitive transfer market that people can't... It's a myth that people wait till the end of the season to start talking to people. I mean, it doesn't even make any bloody sense. Oh, no, we've got to wait until the last game of the Premier League. And get on the phone. Literally, he's just blowing the whistle. Hello, Anderson. Anderson, yes. I really want you. I want you. Get me another phone as well. Yeah, Tonali. He's still playing. They've added time at Newcastle. He's still bloody playing. Get me the phone. Wharton. He has finished. Wharton. Don't speak to anyone before you speak to... I mean, that's not how the transfer window works. And I think some people do think that when the Premier League ends, that's when it starts. It doesn't. For some people, it starts in... Look, Griezmann. Somebody said it was 10 years ago that we nearly got Griezmann. That Griezmann deal, right? From a how long it took... was like we started talking to Griezmann in November and all the way up until I think it was July, he was going to sign for Man United and have the number 7 shirt. And then because of the Atletico Madrid transfer ban, he decided to stay and help them. From a transfer point of view, he didn't just walk up the garden path and knock on the door of Old Trafford. We literally went and picked him up from Spain and flew him over and walked him up the drive and everything like that. But that deal was being worked on for about 8 months. That floored United. Like, it really did. He was going to be a Man United player. Now, whether he'd have been a good Man United player or not, who knows? So look, you could be working on a transfer. Well, look, Belaba. We've been working on Belaba for a fucking year. So this next 2 weeks, I think, is really important. Dave the Brave says Mainoo with 0 goals and assists is our midfield going forward. Champions League teams must be trembling with fear. Another new member. Welcome to the Members Club, Stu Smith. Thank you very much for getting your badge in. Appreciate you. Faz, we've done that one from as well. Daniel Thompson says, we can't waste funds on risks when we can pay a little bit more for the best quality we need. Newcastle are out the Champions League. We must do everything we can to get Tonali. I'd be happy with Bruno Guimaraes, if not Tonali, says Daniel. And congratulations to Mazraoui for the AFCON win, says Marlo. And Rory says, I think we'll get both Tonali and Anderson. I mean, that would be incredible. We should lock Enrique and Favel in a transfer room, says Grimm. And Mizzo says, would you give Bruno and Shaw for Tonali and Lewis Hall? I can't give Bruno up. I mean, I'll give Luke Shaw. I mean, look, Lewis Hall, we're not getting Lewis Hall. But I was watching him again last night. He is just he's on a different level. Like, he is going to be England's best left back. If he can avoid injury, he's incredible. He's absolutely fantastic. We won't get him, but I imagine what Man United would be with a left back like that. It would be a game changer. He's absolutely incredible. But I do think with Newcastle, there is this opportunity because they're not in the Champions League. And there are players that are sort of like Anthony Gordon, Bruno Guimaraes, Tonali, who are sort of looking at next season and going, am I going? But Newcastle won't sell them all. So I think if we want a Newcastle player, you've got to muscle in and go, we want this. Now, look, Liverpool and Chelsea don't know whether... There is an advantage here that no one's talking about. Arsenal and Man City, they know they're in the Champions League next season. They can speak to Tonali, they can speak to Anderson, whoever they want, and they can offer that up. Chelsea and Liverpool don't know if they're in the Champions League next year. They don't. Chelsea can speak to Bruno Guimaraes and say, come to Chelsea, we need an experienced midfielder. But they can't offer, really, a hell of a lot because they don't know what their budget is because they're not in the Champions League at the moment. And Liverpool are still in the Champions League. Very unlikely they're going to win it. But can they really ring up Adam Wharton and go, we want you in the midfield next year? You know, they don't know. I think we know. I know. I think you know. I know we're in the Champions League next year. I know we can't count our chickens, but I genuinely think we're in the Champions League next year more than Arsenal have won the league. And I think Arsenal have won the league. But we are in the Champions League. I know things can go wrong, but I think we are in the Champions League. I think it's going to happen. That puts us in a good position. We've got momentum. We apparently have the money. So we should be knocking on Newcastle's door and saying, let's go and do it. Let's get a deal done. People say stop jinxing, swivel on that. People say this is going to get clipped. Couldn't give a shit because ultimately I'm not going to make content where I'm thinking, ooh, am I going to get clipped and get proved wrong? Or, ooh, am I going to jinx it? It would be boring. You're basically saying, don't have an opinion because you might jinx it or you might get clipped. I mean, what a boring world. Fucking hell, it's a prediction. Grow up. Look, the reality is, if you want a method to what I've just said, it really is this simple, right? Arsenal are going to win the league. Man United are going to get Champions League football. Look at the league table, right? There it is in front of you. Man United have 54 points. We are 6 points ahead of Chelsea. And we are 5 points ahead of Liverpool. We need to get about 65 points to get into the top five, which means we need 3 wins. 4 wins from 8 games. 4 wins and a 3 wins and a draw, I think, will do it. We've got 8 games left. Do you think we're going to lose 5 of our last 8? I think we'll end up somewhere around 70 points. 64 points will get you in the top five. So we're playing 1 game a week. Liverpool are still in the Champions League. Villa are still in the Europa League. And Chelsea are lowest of all. I mean, it couldn't be any better. Villa are the closest to us, but they're playing Thursday, Sunday. We know how difficult that is. Behind them is Liverpool. 5 points offers, by the way. 5 points. 5 points is a lot. Liverpool have got to go to Brighton at the weekend. They've still got players at Old Trafford. They're still in Europe. And they got Chelsea, who are 6 points behind us. They've got Man City coming up soon. They've got to go to Everton on Saturday. So, look, I think we've got Champions League football. I don't think it's a, you know, if we were in sixth, might be a little bit different, but it's not that far-fetched. Come on. Brighton seem to have got El Marla now. What are your thoughts? There was two things I saw today, Leo. And welcome. Thanks for being a member, by the way, Leo. Thanks for your super chat, but thanks for being a member. There was two things I saw today. Senegal midfielder Kamara is a target for Newcastle and could leave Monaco this summer. Club scouts have been impressed with his performances at Monaco and feel he has the physical qualities to succeed with the pace of the Premier League. They're the sort of things that annoy me, because if we give Newcastle 60 million for Bruno Guimaraes or 80 million for Tonali, and then they spend 40 or 30 on Kamara, and then next season we're watching Newcastle with Kamara going, he's fucking brilliant. This is what irritates me a little bit, because why do we not look at the Kamara player before he goes to Newcastle for 30 and then gets sold for 90 to us in a couple of years' time? And the same with Brighton. El Marla at Cologne is obviously a fantastic talent. So why is he going to Brighton and not Manchester United? Because the last time I checked, we're not in the Champions League every year. So, and the last time I checked, we do have some shit players who start for United. Not going to name any names, but there are some shit players that start for us every week. So don't tell me we can't buy a Monaco midfielder or a Cologne winger who could come to the club, be part of the squad and develop. It does irritate me a little bit, because we end up spending a lot of money on solutions, and then the clubs that take our money go and buy 2 or 3 players who we then end up buying for massive money. What I'm trying to say is we do need to trust our scouts a little bit. It's not, some people think it's a scouting issue. There's no way there isn't a scout at Man United who hasn't mentioned El Marla from the Bundesliga. There's no way that's not been mentioned by Fivel or whatever. But someone at United will have gone, nah, we're not going to do that. Do you think you could have held the same standards for Carrick and Amrim? Do you think you've held the same standards for Carrick and Amrim? Now, I've probably been a bit more lenient on Carrick, to be fair, DMT, because Amrim was playing a completely different system, and we were meant to be building, you know, a brand new project under Amrim. And I think I, you know, was running out of patience with that. I said give him the season and then probably sack him. I didn't agree with sacking him in January, but I was definitely moving towards making a change in the summer. Whereas with Carrick, he's an interim, isn't he? So, you know, his job is literally to do what he's doing at the moment. I don't think there's I don't think there'd be a point where I'd be saying, let's sack Carrick as an interim. And I don't think there'd be a point where I'd be going, my only issue with Carrick is giving him the job full time. Hi, Mark. Do you think Enrique done that one, Damien? Do you think Enrique would get interviewed by United, or will it be only Carrick? I'd be happy with Carrick, but Enrique is top tier. Thanks for being a member, Damien. I think that United, regardless of whether they give it to Carrick or not, have to interview as many managers as possible just to give themselves knowledge, really. You know, interview other people and see what they've got to say so you can make a balanced decision. Robert McCormack is back in the house. Not heard from him for a while. Hope you're doing well, Robert. Says City doing the same thing as United and Chelsea. 14 of the last 16 signings have been under 27, and the other two were third choice goalkeeper. Gundogan back on free. Maybe it's the future. Yeah, Robert, look, I'd love to know what Arsenal's recruitment's like, because we're not Man City and Chelsea for a start. If we want to be compared to Man City and Chelsea, then we need to start buying the players that Man City and Chelsea are buying. You know, Caicedo for 100 million, Enzo Fernandez for 100 million. You know, you need to go and buy those types of players. I don't understand the under 26 policy of signing players. I don't understand what it is. The only thing I can think of is financial. It's almost like book value or sell on value, because there are so many players that are playing good football in their 30s now. Why would you not buy a 29-year-old or a 28-year-old who could play for 3 or 4 years at a very high level? It just doesn't make any sense, apart from the fact that there's just no contract value at the end. If you buy Bruno Guimaraes for £60 million this summer and he plays really, really well for 3 years, at the end of those 3 years, there is no value. Like, nobody will give you any money for it. So that's the only way I can think of it. Whereas if you buy Baleba and in 3 years' time he's shit, somebody's still going to give you some money for him, aren't they? So I don't know whether it's that, really. Rohan says, Tonali to replace Casemiro, João Gomes to replace Ugarte and Fernandez for depth. Yeah, I'd like to sign three midfielders, Rohan. I don't think they're going to do it. Bradley says, I've seen that they might be looking to keep Dorgu left wing. Have we any left backs lined up to cover Shaw after the World Cup? Well, depends who you read about, really. I think that some people think we're not going to buy a left back, and some people are saying that we will buy a left back. I think we have to buy a left back. I think it's absolutely essential. Let me just give you the update on Elliot Anderson, which came in last night from Ben Jacobs, who's also going to be on the show a little bit later. So also Romano talking about Tonali, I'd forgotten about that one. So effectively, this is what Ben Jacobs had to say about Elliot Anderson. Elliot Anderson remains Manchester United's top midfield target for a big summer revamp, where they plan to sign two midfielders. City are genuine competition and both clubs are expected to push hard. But done deal rumours to City are false. Talks are very early with no advanced negotiations or clear player preference yet. Progress is stalled out of respect for Anderson. He's prioritising Forest survival. The relegation risk could lower his value, by the way. Clubs don't know if he'll delay his decision until after the World Cup or pick a club early to focus on the tournament. Nothing is moving now. Clarity may not come until late April and early May. So that's from Ben talking about Anderson. And look, if you're asking me what I think about Anderson, I would say he's going to Man City because it's the right move for him. He'd probably start every week. It's a fantastic side. It's ready to go. It's in the Champions League. It'll compete for the title next year. And as I said, he'll probably start. So, and he'll get better money and he'll get better wages. And it's less of a risk for his career. And he'll start for England every week. So I think Man City and Elliot Anderson makes a hell of a lot of sense. But Ben Jacobs keeps saying we're in the race. And that's the only thing that's making me think, wow, what does he know? Because it just doesn't look like United can win that race. It's a bit like Semenyo. Come to Manchester United. We don't know who the manager's going to be. The manager might be a risk anyway and might not be here in 18 months. We are in the Champions League, but we might not stay there. We could be in a mid-table battle next year. We could be in a title race next year. We don't know what's happening, really. And yeah, you know, if you don't perform well in an underperforming team, you might lose your place in the England team. So I can see why Man City are favourites. But then Ben Jacobs keeps saying Man United is still in the race. So look, it'd be interesting. I hope for our sake and Anderson's sake that he prioritises a move before the World Cup. I don't think that... I think in the case of Bruno Fernandes, it makes a lot of sense to wait until after the World Cup because you're already at a place where you know you can stay. Bruno Fernandes is going to play at number 10 for Man United next season in the Champions League by the looks of it. But he can sit and wait till after the World Cup and go, I'm happy to stay. Or he can sit and wait till after the World Cup and go, don't agree with the manager, don't agree with the signings, I want to go. It makes sense for Bruno to wait. But for Anderson, I think he knows he's going in the summer. He surely had time to talk to his agent. It's probably beneficial for him to go, I'm going to Man United or I'm going to Man City and now I'm going to go and join the World Cup. So hopefully he will make his mind up before. The benefits is if he makes his mind up before as well, because if he comes to us, we've got it done. If he doesn't come to us, we know to move on. Because the worst case scenario is he waits till after the World Cup and then he still chooses City and then it's the end of July and we're like, shit, what's going on? I don't think we can't wait. I don't think we can wait. And as Dominic says, as one of our members, thank you, Dominic, for getting your badge in. He says, World Cup won't raise Anderson's stock any more than it already is. He's already been a proven baller in the Premier League. Yeah, I don't think the World Cup adds any value to Elliot Anderson, really. I think the World Cup only adds value if you're someone like Wayne Rooney at Everton, who's done okay, then he goes to the World Cup and lights it up, you know, and then it's like, fucking hell, he's a superstar. Liverpool paid £60 million, £66 million and £75 million for Alisson and Virgil, respectively, 10 years ago, but spent it because it was for positions where they were lacking. Look at what it bought them. Pay Newcastle what they want, says Jid. And Robert McCormack says, personally prefer a balance, but maybe I'm outdated. And DMT says, do you think I've done that one as well? Also, Romano, I wasn't going to bring this into the show, but I completely forgot. So this is what Fabrizio Romano has had to say about Tonali. Man United have made calls to be informed about Tonali, but Man City have done that as well. It's a big fee to find a solution to sign him. We know how complicated it can be to negotiate with Newcastle. Still early stages, several clubs are following the situation. And I think this is interesting because Newcastle can be hard to negotiate with. They have got very rich owners. They're a very well-run club. They'd probably be a lot higher in the league than they are if they could spend the money they have from their owners. So they're not a club that's easy to deal with. Having said that, I don't think they'll want to walk into the Isak situation again where a player goes on strike. So Newcastle have got their own problems there. But also, Newcastle have got every right, if they do a quick sale for like Bruno Guimaraes, they've got every right to say, well, we can't sell you both. So I feel like Newcastle need to get a grip of it themselves as well. They can't just wander into the summer and keep their head down. Like, they've got to decide who's going to go and where they're going to go. And if somebody comes in and says, we'll give you £65 million for Bruno Guimaraes, that's probably a good deal for Newcastle. And then they can go to Tonali and say, look, we've sold the midfield we want to sell. We've got good money for him. If you're going to go, we don't want you to go. But if you are going to go, it's going to take a ridiculous offer. We're not selling you for like undervalue. So if someone comes in and gives us 90, we'll do it. But if they don't, we won't. And I think that may be what happens with Tonali. I don't think United will go anywhere near £90 million for a midfielder. I don't think we'll go anywhere near it. I think we are probably worse than we were under the Glazers. I mean, we gave Juventus 90, didn't we, for Pogba? So, but I don't think Sir Jim Radcliffe, listening to him in interviews and stuff, I don't think he's got any inclination to spend over £80 million on a player. I just don't think I think it's a stubbornness. I don't think he'll do it. I really don't. Which I think probably rules us out of Tonali. But I guess we just have to wait and see on that one. What else? There's a little bit about the stadium if you're interested, actually. Mike Keegan was talking about it. Land agreement potentially by the summer. talks are going on with construction firms and planning application to go in the next 12 to 18 months. Look, it's a year ago they put up the clown circus tent. It was a year ago they said that this stadium was on track to be completed in 2030. We're halfway through We're 3 months into 2026. Planning application in the next 12 to 18 months. We're not going to get construction and builders on site for at least the start of the season after next. So what's that? Autumn 27, they might start it. Add 5 years. How long does it take to build a stadium, though? I mean, I don't know. That stadium's got to get built at some point. Old Trafford, as much as I love it, they've messed it up. And I'd love to see renovation. I mean, look at what they've done with the Nou Camp. Look at what they've done with Anfield. Look at what they've done with Bernabeu. It pains me what's going to happen to Old Trafford. But it will get built eventually. But the scary thing is how they're going to fund it. How are they going to fund it? Thank you so much for that. I'm 49. I hope to see a new stadium or Old Trafford in my lifetime, says Gaz. Well, fingers crossed you should be okay. I'd imagine. I think it'll be done in the next... I don't know. How long's a piece of string? Imagine we had the Newcastle director of football who did all these deals and sacked him after 3 months. Ineos have not got a clue, says Godmother. I think Old Trafford is beyond repair at this point, says Harry. Oh, yeah, I agree. I think it's disgusting what's happening to Old Trafford, but it you are right. It is beyond repair in the sense of... They could keep us in Old Trafford, but we'd have to go and play somewhere else for 2 or 3 years. And that's just not going to happen, is it? The reason they want to build something new is so that they can keep us in Old Trafford playing until the day the new one opens. Daniel Thompson says, if Wilcox messes this summer up, we should make him wear a red and white striped jumper and call him Where's Wally Wilcox, because this summer is such a golden opportunity to progress. Has to be a home run. Yeah, and thanks for your super chat, Daniel. Look, as I said, I like Newcastle. I know they got battered last night, but I thought in the first half they played well. I think they're a good team. I think Eddie Howe's a good coach. They've got some really good players. But Man United's my priority. They're not in Europe next year. We are, in some way, shape or form. We're definitely in Europe next season. We're not going to finish outside the top six, are we? So that's not going to happen. I look at it and I go, Newcastle's an opportunity. They've got players with itchy feet. Let's go and see what we can get and let's elbow our way to the front. Let's be at the front of the queue for what Newcastle want to do. You know, we're in a good position at the moment as well. We are in a good position. Mark, who would you get between Tonali or Bruno G based on quality? Look, I like Bruno Guimarães, but I would go Tonali because I think Tonali suits what we need. He literally is that six player with the ability to push forward like Casemiro. So I think Tonali suits us better. But I'd be very happy with Bruno Guimarães. But I would absolutely say Tonali over Bruno G. I mean, I'll run a poll on it. We'll run a poll on it. But I like them both. And let me just say this. Bruno Guimarães is shits all over our midfield. He'd be the best player in our midfield easily. We need four midfielders now. In the summer, we get rid of two at least, says Marlowe, and they will try to convince us signing two is enough. Yeah, we'll be short in the midfield, Marlowe. Yeah, we will be short in the midfield. We need to pick a project and stick to it. Right now, we're just hoping things click with the manager and players instead of having a clear strategy. I read something yesterday, John, and it made me laugh because we sacked Amrim, who wanted to play high-intensity, high-chance creation football in a system that we haven't used before. And that was the project. And I read something about this yesterday, and I can't remember what it was. Basically, they were saying, what is United now? Because Amrim came in with the brief of making Man United play good football and rebuilding the club. He came in. After 1 year, it wasn't where it needed to be, but there was high chance creation and there was high intensity, and players like Garnacho, Rashford, Sancho had been booted out of the club. So a year in, although it wasn't where it needed to be, you could see what he was trying to do. We're now back with an interim who is playing very similar football to Solskjaer, who ultimately lost his job because people got fed up of watching counter-attacking football. And it's almost like, it's not Carrick's fault, leave Carrick out of it. What I'm saying is, what is the vision of the club? Because at least under Amrim, whether you think it was working or not, and I would probably say it wasn't working, you knew the vision was to play high-intensity, high-chance creation football. Is the vision now for the next few years to play counter-attacking football? Or is it just to the end of the season and then we want Carrick or whoever to play better football? The club needs to set that out. No, that's not for Michael Carrick and Steve Holland to hold. They're interim coaches getting results. But next season, if we stick with Carrick, is that what we're going to do? Are we going to play? I presume Steve Holland keeps his job. So next season and the season out, if Carrick gets the job for 2 or 3 years, are we just playing counter-attacking football again for 2 or 3 years? Or are we going to change? Are they going to say, you've got the job, but we want you to play like Bayern or PSG? The club need to set this out. Nobody ever asks this question, even though it's a very important one. How do they want this club to play? You own the club. How do you want us to play? Do you just want results? Do you want results with performance? Are you going to set the style of play? Is it going to be like this, counter-attacking, or is it going to be a little bit more expansive? So these things are important, because at the moment, I don't know. I don't think it's even fair to say that Carrick wants to play like this. Maybe he's playing like this because it's the best way to get the results out of these players. Maybe in the summer, he'd change how he wants to play. I don't know. At the moment, it's just about results. Maybe we can get the Etihad while Old Trafford is being rebuilt. Then it will finally be full, says Roblin. Thank you. Okay, we have got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2. I'll be tuning in for that one. Don't you worry. That will be very, very interesting. 78% of you would go for Tonali over Bruno G. I do agree. Welcome to our new members this morning. You're very, very welcome. Thank you, everybody who's been tuning in. We have a live 8 o'clock show tonight. Haven't had it the last couple of nights because of the Champions League. And don't forget, we've got a live match watch along tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So thanks everyone for watching. Great show this morning. I'm encouraged by the number of stories that are starting to come out as we approach this March international break. I said this is where it needs to start. And at the moment, it feels like things are starting to start. And look, nothing to do with Man United, but this international break, there will be players through their agent saying, tell the club I want to go. That's something we haven't discussed. Obviously, United need to be speaking to players and managers in the next couple of weeks. It's a great opportunity. But don't forget, there'll be players at other clubs saying, I want to go in the summer. So those sort of things are going to happen as well. Be happening at our club as well. I'm pretty sure Xerxes, Agate, maybe a couple of others will be doing it. You can check out the preview on the homepage. Daniel said it was a great preview. Thank you, Daniel. And I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care. Stay safe.